Spencer Properties own all the homes they let out and work closely with the Knowledge Project to promote safe, reliable housing for student and professional communities.
Visit spencer-properties.co.uk for more information and follow at Spencer Prop on Twitter for all their latest listings.
Spencer Properties, the number one provider of quality accommodation in Leeds.
This is Leeds Student Radio.
Live from Leeds University Union.
At the heart of your student life.
The things that matter to you.
To you.
To you.
To you.
Your news.
Your views.
Your life in Leeds.
Live at 5.
This is The Beat in association with Amber Cars.
Download our app for the quickest taxi service in Leeds.
Broadcasting 24 hours a day from Leeds University Union.
The sound of students in Leeds.
This is Leeds Student Radio.
Hello and welcome to the LSR Art Show. I am Eleanor and I'm joined by my producer Megan.
Hello.
And today we've got the lovely Faye in the studio.
Hello there.
Fantastic. Now we've got loads of great things coming up this week. First of all, we're going to talk about the Safest Houses Project, which has been a bit of a scandal this week in the Griffin, which has been the City Blue housing scandal with the fake letter. Mark is not here, unfortunately, but he's going to be reviewing PCI's War Songs. Faye's going to be telling us about all the culture coming up on campus this week. And I am going to be interviewing and reviewing Anthony Misson from Company Chameleon. So, first we're going to hear from some of the performers from Safest Houses. Now, the Safest Houses Project, although you might have seen in the tab all these warnings about this letter from Master Criminals, I think it said in the tab. And the Safest Houses Project was actually funded and created by the West Yorkshire Police and School of Performance and Cultural Industries and the LUU Knowledge Campaign. Police Officer PC Matt Guy, who's the university's dedicated police officer, was looking for new ways to engage with crime prevention and burglary for students and ways to get people to learn. So a series of performances was taking place in Hyde Park about burglary, about home invasion, and some students from the university's School of Performance and Cultural Industries were involved with the project, and I spoke to them, and we're going to hear a bit from them now about what they got up to and how they got involved in the project.
I'm Zosh, and I was involved in the Safest Houses Project with
Lauren Alcock
and Lauren Huxley.
So we've got two Laurens, so it'll be slightly confusing, but hopefully you'll be able to tell the difference. So can you tell us a little bit about what Safest Houses is and how you guys got involved with it?
The project was between PCI, which is the Performance and Cultural Industries in the university, in collaboration with West Yorkshire Police, the LUU Knowledge Campaign and the School of Healthcare. And it was basically a project to raise awareness of crime within Leeds. And the main policeman sort of in charge of it was PC Matt Guy. And he is sort of in charge of student crime and like safety within Leeds. And it was, the aim of it was to bring a fresh approach to policing and how they deliver the crime prevention message, so sort of making it more interesting and accessible to students.
We got involved because it was run by one of our lecturers, and so like everyone in PCI was invited to have a go, and then we got into little groups and just rehearsed it amongst ourselves. I mean, it was really easy for us because we all lived together anyway, so we just got to practice on our living rooms.
So can you tell us a little bit more about the performance element of the programme and how you use your theatre skills to help with crime prevention?
So the performance part of the programme, we were split into groups of two or three, and we had to devise a piece about burglary in particular, so burglary in student houses in Leeds, because it's quite common and it happens a lot here.
The main gist of it was that we had one of us, which is myself, posing as a landlord, estate agent type. So I was working for the landlord agency, which was in fact City Blue Housing, and so I was posing as that person, and the two Laurens were sort of coincidentally acting as the same person but in different time periods. So one of the Laurens was the original person who got burgled sort of a week prior to the event when we performed it, and the other one was in present tense narrating what happened.
So I had to go in, and the whole like first 10-15 minutes was just me improvising and like acting like I'd known him all my life. I mean, we didn't end up going to the house we were going to originally go to because of all of the mix-up with this fake letter. I just kind of went in, acted like I was kind of a neighbour and I wanted to come around for kind of some support and stuff, but didn't give anything away. That was quite scary, to be honest, because you don't know how people are going to react. But like, it took them a while to get into the feel comfortable with me acting but not acting because I was kind of just myself. It was really comfortable in the end, and then I was like, oh, hang on a minute, I need to carry this on into the performance. But no, it was really comfortable, and I think that was kind of the main point of it, like bringing it into somebody's house and making it personal is what made it have more of an effect. I think that's what the project was aiming to do in the first place.
So you mentioned City Blue Housing. How did the kind of coverage in the student media, shall we say, affect the project and affect your guys' kind of performances in it? Did you have to change any of the material or do anything differently?
Well, it was quite a shock, not going to lie. When we first saw the article, seeing the letter that we'd actually wrote part of a performance was quite kind of amusing, but actually it did have some quite serious implications. It was just a prop, basically, which was bizarre seeing it on the news all over the internet. But the actual implications of it to the project meant that it could have kind of put the whole thing in jeopardy, because it was sort of, it could have got back to the school in a bad way or back to the tutor that was involved. But luckily, I think it actually surprisingly had a positive effect, because it kind of was doing what we were aiming to do, which was raise awareness of crime and crime prevention in Leeds. So it kind of made a good show of that, I guess.
It was most shocking because they'd had two visits by a uniformed police officer explaining the project. The people in this house had signed up for it. We had visited them to deliver this little box in person, all three of us at their door, handed them this little box of clues. It was like a little stripy present box that was labelled and wrapped up in string. It was so obviously fake. It was with like other clues towards the performance. We explained to her while we were there about the performance again and reminded her about everything. And she was like, yeah, I'm not sure what you're on about, but yeah, that's fine. And the fact that then they still didn't seem to understand it, and there must have been a massive lack of communication in the household for them not to understand what that was. And they were also visited by a uniformed police officer again the night after they'd brought the letter in, and they still said, oh yeah, that's all fine, so something's gone wrong somewhere. But it wasn't even something that we'd thought was going to happen, because we'd taken all the right steps to make sure they knew that it was a performance and knew that it was fake.
I guess with work like this, sometimes it can be a bit unpredictable. What are the main things you've got out of the process, and like, what have you learned from being in the project?
It's been a great experience to be part of, especially it's been a really good opportunity to be part of Safest Houses, because it's quite a unique project. I haven't heard of anyone doing something like that, where they go and take a performance into someone's household. So it was good to get experience in performing in non-theatre spaces. And it demanded quite a lot of improvisation, I think, because you didn't know how the audience would react or how willing they would be to participate. In terms of that, I think it's good for me and my future, because that's probably more towards what kind of theatre I want to go into rather than, you know, West End.
Thank you very much, guys. I'm glad the project went well. I hope to hear more from you in the future.
So that was Lauren, and Zosh talking about their experience working on the Safest Houses project. I guess a lot of people wouldn't really think that performance sort of theatre would be a good thing to help with crime prevention. What do you think, guys, in the show?
I think it's really interesting, actually, like the way that they did such a shocking thing.
Yeah, it's interesting.
To get a message across.
Yeah, it's interesting the reaction it made when everyone thought that letter was really
quite
shows
funny,
that
though,
it was funny. It was funny the reaction it got, but I think it shows how much of an important issue it is.
Yeah. And it was such an unpredictable thing. Like, they never ever thought that letter would ever even go out of the people that had signed up to do the show, to be involved with the performance.
So did they send the letter around, and then just, what did they do? They said, oh, well, this is the time we're going to come leave your doors open.
The letter was sent to people that had already consented for the performances to take place in their house. It was just a reminder that it was happening, basically, but it was obviously like cryptic and in the vein of the performance,
yeah,
kind of pretending to be an estate agent. So that was why that happened. And I think, as they said, it kind of raised the issue. They sort of realised, I mean, I guess if this letter had gone out and maybe someone found it that they didn't know about the performance and they didn't go to the papers, that would show that there's not that much awareness. So I guess it's a good thing.
Yeah, it is a really good thing.
But yeah, work like that is really unpredictable. Okay, so now we're going to hear from MNEK, and this is The Rhythm.
If I let the rhythm get to me, then I don't know what I'll be. Think I just might lose my mind. If I let the rhythm get to me, it'll take all of me. I'll lose track of space and time. Fever pitch just like a shot running through my veins. Flick the switch and you'll ignite an eternal flame. If I let the rhythm get to me, then I don't know what I'll be. Think I just might lose my.
MNEK there, and now we are going to hear from Mark, who unfortunately is not here, about PCI's War Songs. Now, War Songs is part of the final performance project for the final year of the theatre, well, the PCI theatre performance, theatre design and theatre management courses. It marks the centenary of the First World War, and it's a verbatim musical, which means all the words, lyrics, speech is all real things said by real people. So let's hear from Mark and his review of the piece.
Hi everyone, I hope you're enjoying the show today. Well, this week I have got a review for you of War Songs. Now, War Songs was a PCI production for the third years, PCI being the School for Performance and Cultural Industries as part of the PVAC here at the university. Now, the third year is a final project as part of their degree programme, and the students get to decide what sort of strand they get to go in. So this one, War Songs, was a new musical based on verbatim material. Normally when I think of a basin, I get quite disillusioned with it. I always feel as though, although it's still more hard-hitting because it's actually real drama, you know, it's real life and it's so much more effective, I often think that a lot of the times it's depicted, it's actually not that interesting to watch, which sounds quite bad of me to say, considering like a lot of the themes might be, you know, quite mature subject matter. But with this is the first time I've seen verbatim used quite a different way, in that being of a musical. They explored material from the past 100 years, saying that Earth has not had one day of world peace for thousands of years. So the show itself didn't have like too much of a set on dialogue or characters. It was more like the exploration of themes and stimulus which they had. The first half was great, actually, when we were introduced to like an overall choral number about war in general, and it was accompanied by a keyboard. I think there was two members of the ensemble who actually played with it, and they've been working this for 9 weeks, so within 9 weeks they managed to make a good 70-80 minute performance. It was set in like an all-around theatre in the round. It's quite interesting because when I first walked into the stage at Leeds, when I first came to uni, I noticed there was an end-on setting. And it was the first time I had actually been able to see a show with a different seating arrangement. As you walked in, there was like a net like, hanging from the top, full of leaves, full of greenery. And we were introduced like with some quite dramatic music. There was a solo figure of a male holding on with the drums. He's still sort of quite long. I mean, there was quite a delay for a starting. We're not too sure why, but he did a really good job of staying still. So throughout the first half, it was mostly music anyway. We saw themes such as like the idea of being forced to go to war, otherwise looking like a coward. There was other elements as well, like the idea of a woman going to war like, towards like, the earlier part of the century. You know, women were convinced, you know, they should stay at home, help fight the effort at home. Whereas now it's probably a bit more of a unit, you know, it's more equal. You know, why should a woman not be able to fight for the war just for her gender, yet the males, you know, they always have to go fight because it's expected of them. If at the end of the day they're all fighting for one cause, you know, and that is like for peace. Where there's moments, you know, the music, obviously when you think musicals, you think it's going to be quite a jolly affair, but you do have that on the other hand, stuff like Les Mis, you know, which is quite dramatic in itself. It was really interesting though. I mean, whereas it was mostly music, we saw elements of like physical theatre and like contact and duo work, which was really beautiful to watch. It was really nice not to sit back and just watch a play which had like a message, you know, hidden within the depths of it. Whereas with this one in particular, it was basically showing that, you know, war is prevalent, you know, in our society, it is going to be a thing, unfortunately. And instead of like trying to fight, like, we must stop it, it was pointing out what was going on. You know, what are we having to face with? I think the setting really helps that. It made it quite intimate. The cast didn't use microphones, so, and it was, you know, pretty clear that the way that every single person at ensemble, they knew what they were doing, they knew what they were going for, they knew how they were going to, like, how they were going to perform this piece. It was serious, it was hard-hitting. And the microphone issue was not, you know, there wasn't one at all, you could hear it, and like I said, it made it quite intimate. I mean, the second half at first felt a bit of a complete change, like it wasn't all, you know, completely sung through like the first half was. We saw quite a comic bit about like different political speeches of the prime ministers of Britain throughout the first century. Some of the audience laughed at that, whether or not it's because the person doing it, you know, whether it was friends and family, and or whether it was quite satirical to see like Tony Blair or Margaret Thatcher and Churchill all being like played by the same person. It was quite fun. I think, I don't know whether the laughter was like the right intention or not, but it was a bit of sort of comic relief, I guess. But as the play went on, we saw like every single source of verbatim which they used was hung up towards the back, and then that's quite a hard-hitting image because by the end of it, there was so much, like so many sources just covered there, and you know, there was all like the same subject, and the fact that this is based on the past century itself, it's just really quite hard-hitting. It really does make you think. I think one of the most hard-hitting bits of the show at the end was we saw like an unveiling of like a lot of poppies being thrown from above the stage. It was really prevalent. The light started fading out on the image of all the poppies just scattered onto the ground, you know, representing those who fought in the war. And instead of doing a curtain call, they decided to continue like with an exhibition of their sorters. So instead of like being just a show for entertainment, it actually had a purpose where you invited as the audience to go around at the end. You know, they set up an exhibition and they invited us to go around and look at what they had to work with. And I think for 9 weeks' work, it was really something really interesting to watch. I mean, the great thing with all these third-year performances, not one of them are the same. I think there's one in a few weeks called Feast, which is meant to be an immersive performance based around food. So I really recommend that you check that out. I mean, obviously, on the blog, we'll put the dates on for that. But overall, I just think War Songs was great. It really was. It was really, really inspiring to see what a group of 22 students could come up with in 9 weeks, and have you used all their transferable skills, have you used, you know, you got your music, your singing, your acting. There was, whenever you were sat, there was always something new, there was always a unique perspective as you watched it. And of course, you know, at the heart, it was verbatim, it had truth, it had meaning. But yeah, it was really good. So like I said, I recommend you go see your other third year performances. I hope you've enjoyed my review. And I'll speak to you all next week. Enjoy the rest of the show, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Thank you to the lovely Mark there for his review. So there are other PCI performances coming up. The other performance project, Feast, is being performed in the last week of term, and you can find all the information about that on the Facebook group and on their Twitter, which we will put on the blog, LSR The Art Show at WordPress. And you can we will tweet that link on the LSR Twitter soon. So now we are going to hear from This Boss, and this is Embla. Beautiful Sunday morning music there from This Boss, sounding a lot like Flume, I think. Now, Faye is in the studio.
Hello there.
And Faye is going to give us a nice rundown of all the culture on campus this week.
Yeah, so if you're feeling quite lazy, not really, you want to get your cultural activity in for the week, but you don't want to stray too far from campus, there is a lot going on this week. So firstly, tomorrow at 8 p.m. at the Faversham is the Mistletoe and Rhyme event, which is the Spoken Word Society's Christmas sort of social. There's a spoken word session with members of the society performing, and also the Jazz and Blues Society is going to come along and play some music as well. And the main event of the evening is a spoken word set from Jack Dean, who describes himself as a rap storyteller, so that's kind of like sort of slam poetry kind of thing going on down at the Faversham tomorrow at 8. Tickets are £2 if you're a member of Spoken Word Society, or £3 if you are not a member. From all week, from Tuesday to Saturday, is the Stage Musical Society performance of Guys and Dolls. Guys and Dolls is like it's a very famous musical from the 1950s. And basically the plot is that the guys are various gangsters living in New York, and they all get into trouble by betting against each other, and they're sort of struggling to hold on to their dolls, as they're known.
I can't wait to see this. I've never seen Guys and Dolls before, but I've heard a lot about it.
Yeah, I've seen the film, and it's
got cracking music. It's fantastic, and there's loads of great dancing in it.
Yeah, there's some big, massive musical numbers, dance numbers, and you can get your tickets from leedstickets.com or in the Union Foyer. And also, this one is what we recommend. Obviously, we are the LSR art show. So there's the LSR Presents The Transmission, and this is at Nation of Shopkeepers on the 4th of December, on Thursday. It's at 8 p.m, and it's a music event. It's going out as a live broadcast on LSR, and it's the most exciting like new music that's going on in Leeds. So there's Hot Feet, Jasper House, and Louie. So it's starting it's a range of music from like your sort of alternative going into your swing, ska, and blues. So it should be a really, really fun event. So come down and support LSR.
And we will be there.
Yeah.
So you can actually see the faces behind the voices. Which I'm sure you're all dying to do. But yeah, definitely get down. Nation of Shopkeepers is fantastic. Really nice burgers, obviously. Oh,
the best chicken.
But hopefully you'll be dancing too hard. You won't have time to eat anything.
Tickets are £3.50. In advance from upstairs in the Union in the LSR office, or £4.50 on the door. More music going on in the Union on Friday. There's the Hidden and Unplugged sessions in the Hidden Cafe, which is from 8 till 11 p.m, and this is the monthly acoustic night that goes on down there. So if you're into acoustic music, go down and check that out. And if you're not doing anything this afternoon, there at 3 p.m. in the Great Hall, there is a jazz symphony concert, which is Stravinsky and Ellington. And Megan, you're going to go down.
Yeah, I am. I can't actually wait. I'm really looking forward to it.
Megan's going to run out the studio.
Yeah, I'm going to run really, really, really fast. Not that it's miles away. It's only in the Great Hall.
I can see it from here.
But yeah, no, I can't wait. It's totally up, like, something that I'd love.
It's free for students.
Free for students, which we love here at the Art Show.
Yeah, so if you're in the Union and you hate your essay you're writing or something, if you're in Edward Boyle now, leave. Go to the concert. It will make you feel so much better.
And it's only for 2 hours, so it's a good excuse to procrastinate. Yes. From all your essays that you've been doing.
It will make you feel fantastic.
Yes, it will.
Brighten your day. So there's a lot of music going on this week around campus. So there's
always
a
good
bit for everyone. So we've got sort of jazz and blues, we've got musicals, we've got lovely new music from Leeds for the LSR Presents The Transmission. So get down and see. There's something for everyone this week, I think. So
yeah, definitely.
And as I keep plugging, I'm going to say it again, the blog, we will have everything on there. Big up the blog. We've actually been nominated for Best Online.
Yes, we're very proud of
this. At the LSR Awards. So check out our blog. We're going to tweet the link to it now on the @ThisIsLSR Twitter. And have a look on there. And everything that Faye has just told us will be on there, ready for you to check out and buy tickets for. So thank you very much, Faye.
Thank you for having me.
Now we're going to hear from the lovely Jasmine and Kalo.
Her name was Tracy. Working at the bar, trying to be star, dreams of babies, yeah, yeah. A house and a car to cover the scars, but she knows only a temporary fix, but that's how it goes. Even perfect people miss street sweeper Betty. I love you like crazy, yeah. Forget the maybe, cause you're my type of lady, yeah. Oh, oh. Street sweeper Betty. Oh, no, 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 no. Street sweeper, baby, yeah. What she wanted, yeah, was to move to France, paint and dance, and I bought it. Yeah, not a wealthy man, but we can fake a plan if you want to, want to, want to. Just a temporary fix. What do I know? Yeah, even faithful people say, street sweeper, baby, love you like crazy. Yeah, don't tell me, maybe, cause you're my type of lady. Yeah, yeah. Now that it's time to go, and leave all that you know. So easy, no, is it not? Decisions you can't take back. Say you can't take it back. It's no time to lay low and just go with the flow. Girl, you got to grow, live it now. Only you can decide the right track. Baby, baby, love you like crazy, no, crazy. Don't tell me maybe, don't tell me maybe, cause you're my type of lady, my type of lady, whoa, oh, my type of lady, oh, 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 oh.
I need you. loving how special you are. The taste of your lips by the ocean. See, baby, let's live for the moment. Well, let's go on an adventure. The world is your oyster, and I'm gonna show you.
That was the wonderful Kalo. We're all dancing along in the studio to that wonderful song. On Friday, I headed down to the Northern School of Contemporary Dance to chat to Anthony Misson, who's the co-artistic director of Company Chameleon Dance Theatre. And I saw their piece, Beauty of the Beast, which I'm going to tell you a little bit about later. But now let's listen to my interview with Anthony, telling us a little bit about the piece and about the company and dance in general.
So my name is Anthony Misson. I am co-artistic director of Company Chameleon. We are a dance theatre company. We've been going for about 8 years now. We do a variety of different works in different contexts. A lot of outdoor performance work in festivals throughout Europe and much further afield. We also do make productions for theatre. And we also develop a lot of educational programs, particularly working with vulnerable young people. The work that we're going to present this evening is called Beauty of the Beast. It's nothing whatsoever to do with Beauty and the Beast. It's essentially a work that looks at male group behavior and kind of different faces of maleness and masculinity. So within the work, we look at strength and camaraderie. We look at how men play the fool a lot of the time. But more importantly, we look at the sensitivity and vulnerability that men have and how we often put masks on and trying to unpick what's beneath the mask. So within the work, there's six performers on stage, some absolutely fantastic performers. We look at how group dynamics shift and change over time, how sometimes in some context or in certain situations, one person puts themselves to the front, but when other things happen, different people join the group, or in a different set of circumstances, somebody else takes the lead. And it looks at what happens with that, how things change and shift quite constantly.
I was going to ask you about the title, so I think you've already gone there a little bit. Obviously, a lot of people will think of the original tale if they see the title for the first time of the female beauty and the male beast. Could you tell us a little bit more about why you chose that title and what you think it says about the content of the piece and maybe like a duality there?
I think that men have beauty and a beast inside them. It's really looking at that. You know, there's a lot of men that I know from my growing up that face a whole lot of challenges. As you know, suicide rates and rates of depression are absolutely soaring, and that's a lot of people I know have been affected quite severely by that. I've lost a lot of friends, and it's kind of in social observation in how I've grown up. I just see a lot of the time that men don't necessarily know where to place themselves anymore. I think there's a lot of people that are lost. You know, society's fundamentally changed from what it was. We're no longer hunter-gatherers. So I think a lot of men find themselves a bit kind of purposeless. As I say, I think the beast is within all men. Some people have got longer fuses than others, but I think it's one of your base instincts. And it's looking at the duality of the two things, how we manage that. Nobody's that kind of one-dimensional. So there's loads of different tastes and in this work. So at sometimes it's really energetic. At sometimes it's ridiculous. It's absolutely stupid. At other times it's pretty dark. Sometimes it's verging on violent. And it's really looking at lots of different faces, so hopefully the audience will be taken on quite a ride. There's a big journey within the work.
In the past, your work has explored masculinity and male identity before, but do you think that now there is a kind of a wider discussion of gender? For example, Emma Watson's quite high profile He for She campaign received a lot of coverage. Do you think the audiences perhaps are now maybe more ready to receive work that might explore that? Maybe audiences said this has been an interesting way of them being able to go and discuss and explore these ideas.
One of the nicest comments that an audience member made recently, she said, if I had a son, I would absolutely take him to see this work. I think in the media, there's a lot more discussion around issues surrounding masculinity now. I think what we really work hard to do is to look at some of these issues that don't normally enter the field of dance. There's a lot of ideas that dance is very elitist, and if you look around at the UK dance scene, I would largely agree with that. It's a lot of it is to do with aesthetic, and there's quite particular aesthetic in the UK. One of my big drivers is to create and present work that somebody who I grew up around, I grew up on a housing estate in Manchester with people that absolutely don't think theatre's for them whatsoever. I'd love for any one of them to be able to come and see the show and understand it. Now, accessibility is also quite a dirty word in dance somehow, and I don't agree with that whatsoever. So what we really try and do is make things that people recognise and understand and definitely feel something from, but also make it so that professionals can come and see the work and also say, wow, that's amazing. So yeah, there's a lot of challenges that come within that, but by its very nature, Chameleon, we try to use whatever language or style or of movement vocabulary or whatever that best represents an idea. So within the work, there's everything that looks like from classical ballet, there's dialogue, we sing in the show, we shout in the show. There's things that look more like breakdance. There's no fixed or set thing that we use. We take from absolutely everywhere. So there's so many different tastes in the show that I think there's really something for everyone. And what I'd also like to say is audiences for dance generally, there may be more men coming to the theatre, and it's not that this work, because it deals with issues around masculinity, is particularly aimed at men, because I think that in reality, everybody, women, have male figures in their life that have had influence and do have influence, you know, whether it's your father or your grandfather, your friend, your partner, a son, whatever. So everybody can recognise things in this piece and relate it to their own personal experience. We try really hard to leave people with a thought or a feeling. It's not really enough for people to come and sit and be entertained and then go home. I really want people to feel something, and I think this show really does that.
Yourself and Kevin Turner, speaking of accessibility, you both trained here at Northern School of Contemporary Dance. We kind of hear people doing class and some drums coming from the studios right now. Could you maybe talk about how you've maybe seen the dance scene in Leeds kind of change or grow, develop, or maybe not? And do you have any advice for students that maybe feel like they can't get involved with dance, whatever that might mean, if they are not in London?
For me, the scene in Leeds has always been brilliant. When I was trained here, there was a lot of great work going on down at Yorkshire Dance that I could plug into. So Bush Hartshorn, who was the director of the place then, really worked hard to go around different countries and find people, and brought a lot of people to the UK for the first time. So I was lucky enough to be able to get involved with a lot of those people and projects that were happening. So obviously my experience grew from that. There's always, as far as I could see, there's always been a really vibrant scene here in the city, and it's still flourishing. There's a lot of fantastic makers. There's a lot of people that really care. I think it's absolutely brilliant that Janet Smith is now the principal of the school. I think that's a fantastic thing for this place. She was my director at one point as well, I'd like to say. And she had a massive influence on me and my development. But yeah, Leeds is fantastic, and it seems to be continuing to grow. They've got new studio spaces here. This Northern Ballet have got their home now, so there's really a lot to plug into. Whatever your interest in dance is, so go on, Leeds. That's great. The principal when I was training here was Gurmit Hookham, and he'd quite regularly say to us that we need to have an awareness of the standards of other institutions, like in the London schools. In reality, there's hundreds of dance students coming into the industry every year, and the competition for work is fierce. In reality, there's very few jobs for a whole lot of people. What I would say is work to your absolute best. There is no point in doing this whatsoever in a half-hearted way. It's not the most well-paid industry to be involved in, so you have to love what you do. It's a very particular lifestyle. But as with anything else, I'd say if you have the discipline and you put your back into it and really, 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 truly apply yourself, then you can do anything you want. It's just you've got to do that for yourself and don't wait for people to do it for you. So within that, I would say obviously, make the absolute most of the training that you do have in whatever particular institution that is, but also have a look outside, have a look at the standards and the quality of performers and performance works that are going on. So that means looking beyond the local also. Go to see shows. I know that's quite difficult sometimes when you're studying and to have money to do that, but there are subsidised tickets available in different theatres. And then go and try to plug into whatever you can. If there's classes that you can get involved in, if there's choreographic platforms, if you're in an institution, I'm sure there's always half an hour free in which you can grab a studio and go in it by yourself or with somebody else and explore and create. If you don't really, really go for it, it's not going to happen. So I'd say be realistic. And if you want it to work, then now's the time. You have to eat it all up.
Fantastic. Well, hopefully that will motivate everyone listening to go and make things happen. Thank you very much for speaking to us and look forward to seeing the show tonight. That was Anthony Misson. And if you've been motivated by his words at the end there about working super duper hard, you can take classes at Northern Contemporary Dance School, which is where the interview took place. Now, I went to see Beauty of the Beast on Friday and it was fantastic. Pretty much everything that Anthony said about it being accessible and them using loads of different forms of theatre definitely came across. So there was lots of singing, physical theatre, contemporary dance, straight up drama, social dance, break dancing. So there really was kind of something for everyone. There's kind of like ballet section at the start as well, which is very
interesting.
I really
like the sound. So you're like that then? You love
yeah.
Ballet.
Well, all of it was like really, really interesting to me. A couple of the performers, one of them is in Rationale Dance Theatre, who recently performed at Stage at Leeds last year. So that was kind of more of a hip-hop influence. Whereas Eric Bramania, I think it's pronounced, sorry Eric if that's not right, is from more of a kind of contemporary background. So it kind of used everyone's strengths. As well as kind of the relationships, dramatic side of the piece, the dancing was absolutely outstanding. I was absolutely blown away by all of the contact, especially, so all of the lifts, people lifting each other up and spinning each other around all over the place.
So was it mainly ballet, or was it ballet sort of influence?
No, it was dance theatre, so it was kind of a mix of loads of different styles. So as Anthony said, they kind of use whatever is the most appropriate for what they're trying to get across, so they don't restrict themselves to one style or one form of moving. And that came across really well. So all the dancers were super duper versatile. Again, incredible.
So impressive then.
I was so, so impressed. Completely blown away. Like in the interview, Anthony said that he kind of wants professional dancers and people that are in the dance industry to still be able to come and be blown away by all the dance content, as well as for people that maybe don't know about dance to kind of get something out of it too. And I think that definitely came across. Everyone was blown away. They got a standing ovation from some of the students that were watching. So absolutely fantastic. I think Eric Bramania, I'm really sorry Eric, he definitely needs a special mention. I thought he was absolutely outstanding. His solo performance at the start of the piece was really, really fantastic. It was quite a dark piece in parts. One of the last solos was kind of a man completely stripped bare of everything, kind of bearing a soul to the audience. So it's kind of depression, mental health kind of themes.
Mm.
And at the end, the dancers came on and dressed him up in a suit. So he'd been kind of just in his underwear, kind of completely raw. Really, really emotional, really powerful, really connecting with the audience. And then as soon as his suit was put on, he just kind of, that all melted away and the kind of mask came on. That was the end of the piece, and it was really clear that they were trying to say something there about men just hiding everything, yeah. Hiding all these things that he'd just been kind of showing to the audience. And yeah, that was really, really powerful.
Sounds amazing.
I had a tear in my eye. It was beautiful. There was all kinds of pieces in it, loads of gymnastic pieces. I think there's a section that reminded me of, have you ever seen the picture of, like, the evolution of man?
Yeah.
When it goes from a monkey to a man.
Yeah.
It was kind of like that. So we had people hopping along on the floor in press-ups, by the way. It's all very athletic. It's like one of the most athletic pieces I've ever seen. All male cast, like, super-duper athletic and virtuosic and incredible. And we had people going up and up and up. And the final evolution of man was like a gangster rapper with a chain and his like trousers around his ankles, which is pretty hilarious. Yeah, I laughed a lot of the piece as well. A lot of it was absolutely ridiculously funny. So yeah, I would definitely recommend Company Chameleon. If you don't think you're into contemporary dance, in inverted commas, they are really, really fun, accessible, and I don't think they're intimidating, so to speak. So if you want to, like, if you think you want to go see some dance performances, and I definitely would recommend them for sheer, even if you just ignore all the fantastic themes and acting and messages, just the physical prowess of these people. They are so powerful and so skilled. Yeah, fantastic company. Definitely go and check them out. We're going to put all the links on the blog. Blog again. We love the blog. And fantastic show, and really, really impressed. So now we are going to hear from Marvin Gaye with Sexual Healing, because it's Sunday and we want to play it.
I'm capsizing the waves.
That was Marvin Gaye on a Sunday, because we can.
Amazing.
Absolutely amazing. That's the end of the show for today, which is really, really sad. But next week is our Christmas special. So there's going to be all Christmassy related arty goodness.
I'm so excited.
We're going to play loads of alternative Christmas music and some Mariah Carey as well. And we're going to be giving our pick of what you should be watching over Christmas. Christmas-themed art, Christmas-themed dance, music, theatre, books, everything. So definitely listen in. And the week after that, we've got our UML collab show with the Union Music Library. So thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to check out our blog, which we've tweeted on the This Is LSR Twitter. You can follow us on Instagram, The Art Show LSR. And that will give you loads of lovely content from us if you just miss us all week. And you can't wait to hear it for Sunday, so you want to hear from us in the week. We will be on there, and you can chat to us whenever you want. Thank you very much for listening.
Guys.
Thank you.
Megan's got to run to her concert.
Yes.
So. Listen in next week, and thank you for listening. Bye.
Bye.
This is Leeds Student Radio.
South
students
in Leeds.
Delivering over 100 hours of broadcasting made by 300 students every week.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello and welcome.
And
it's all about you.
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 You. You.
This is Leeds Student Radio.
Would you say we'd be venturing into a zone of danger?
Danger Zone. Every Friday from 7 p.m. at Fab Cafe. Playing the pop and rock anthems you love. With drink deals all night long, there's only one place where everyone's your wingman. Danger Zone, only at Fab Cafe.
Family-run business with over 40 years' experience in providing affordable and reliable accommodation.
Winners of the Leeds Landlord Award.
You should look no further than Spencer Properties when choosing where to live next year.
Spencer Properties own all the homes they let out and work closely with the Knowledge Project to promote safe, reliable housing for student and professional communities.
Visit spencer-properties.co.uk for more information and follow at @SpencerProp on Twitter for all their latest listings.
Spencer Properties, the number one provider of quality accommodation in Leeds.
This is Leeds Student Radio.
Live from Leeds University Union.
At the heart of your student life.
The things that matter to you.
To you.
To you.
To you.
Your news.
Your views.
Your life in Leeds.
Live at 5.
This is The Beat in association with Amber Cars.
Download our app for the quickest taxi service in Leeds.
Broadcasting 24 hours a day from Leeds University Union.
The sound
of students in Leeds.
This is Leeds Student Radio.
Under the shadow.